Good evening again, everyone. With three sort of passages we're going to be looking at this evening, but they're just wee short things that I'll read them out and promise you they're there, but you can check it for yourself when you get home. Let me just pray for God's word before we really start. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that tonight your Holy Spirit would take your word, O God, and use it to speak into each of our lives. We pray, Almighty God, that by your grace and tender mercies, you, Lord God, would help each of us to know how much you love us. To see, Lord, the wonderful demonstration of your love toward us in Jesus giving his life so that we might live. We pray, Father, please, that by your grace and tender mercies, your Holy Spirit would be moving in this place and moving among those who are watching on Facebook and listening to the podcast, ministering to them as to us, Lord, please. And in all that we bring before you tonight, Lord, as we humble ourselves under your word, we pray that you would accept it as a pleasing sacrifice to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week's excuse was, there's so many religions, how do you know Christianity is right? As I said, and we've been saying, we're looking at excuses that people make for not becoming a Christian. We've covered quite a lot of them, and you can go onto our website or onto Facebook, and you can either watch the videos or you can listen to the podcasts on all of the excuses that we've covered so far. But last week's excuse was, there are so many religions, how do you know Christianity is right? Now, with an estimated 4,200 religions in the world, how can we be sure that Christianity is the right way? Well, I assumed, and you know what assume means when you assume anything, it makes an ass out of you and me, but I assumed that those who make this excuse are genuinely interested in finding the right way. So when they're saying there's so many religions out there, you know, how do you know Christianity is right? I assumed that they're also in the process of checking out the other 4,199 religions to see which one is right. Because if you're not doing that, then the excuse, there's so many religions, how do you know Christianity is right, is exactly that. It is nothing more than a pitiful excuse. And as we said way at the start, remember what an excuse is. An excuse is a reason or explanation given to justify a fault or offense. So if you're making excuses for not being a Christian, and you already know, unless you're an idiot who lies to yourself, if you're making excuses for not becoming a Christian, you are already at fault. The point that I made was, people need to use their common sense and look at the evidence for Christianity being the right and only way to God. And so I presented some of that evidence to people last week. For example, I said the Bible is the first piece of evidence that I would present. The Bible being the Word of God. The second piece of evidence that I presented was the person Jesus. The third piece of evidence was the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And the fourth piece of evidence that I presented was the personal testimonies of many, many people down through the generations. And of course, these begged the questions, is the Bible true? How about read it and find out? See the amount of people who used to say to me, oh, see that Bible full of contradictions? And I said, could you name me one? Yeah. Oh, I've never read it. Is the Bible true? Read it and find out. Is Jesus the Son of God who became a man and died in our place? Is Jesus raised again from the dead? And of course, if you want to destroy Christianity, then you've got to come up with the answer. If Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, where did his body go? And are the testimonies of thousands upon thousands of people just lies. When the people, for example, in Shiloh Christian Fellowship tell you that they've come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, are the loopers? Are they deluded? Are they liars? What benefit would they receive in lying to you? Study the evidence. Other religions may contain some truth, but Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." God's word also says of Jesus, "Nor is there salvation in any other." That means no other religion. Don't waste your time checking out the 4,199 others. Jesus has absolutely made it clear there is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus, who said, "I am the way," is also the Word of God become flesh. And the Word of God is clear. There's only one way to God, and that is Jesus. Okay, so for tonight, I'm going to read first from Matthew chapter 19. And I'm only reading three verses in Matthew chapter 19. And I'm not going to wait on people here. So then little children, you will know these passages, by the way. Then little children were brought to Jesus that he might put his hands on them and bless them and pray. But his disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus laid his hands on them, blessed them, and then departed from there. Do you hear what he's saying? In fact, Rita had mentioned this in just the early prayer meeting. Jesus has got multitudes of people all around him, and some people are wanting to bring their kids for him to put his hands on them just to pray a blessing on them. And the disciples thought Jesus had no time for the weans, and started to rebuke their parents and say, "Look, he's far too busy here." And Jesus says, "Hold on here, stop. Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he blessed them. The next passage that I want to look at then is in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And I'm just going to read again, one verse really. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 says this: "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" And the last verse is from Psalm 71 and verse 9. Psalmist says this: "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." While thinking about tonight's excuse, three songs came to mind. Two wouldn't be very well-known songs, unless you're cool like me. Two wouldn't be well-known, while the other is an absolute classic. And yet the song titles sum up the excuse that I'm going to be speaking about this evening. I don't know why God does this. I mean, I like mad and weird music, and all types of sort of music, except for the rubbish that my foster son's playing in the house. But this week, these songs just came to mind, and I thought, what's this about? Until I remembered what the excuse was. So here's the first. The first is by an American hip-hop artist called Talib Kweli Green. Hands up, everybody who's heard of him. Sandra, oh, you're right, sorry. Talib Kweli Green, anybody heard of him? Yeah, there we go. Way to go. Well, he has a song called "I've Got My Whole Life Ahead of Me." I've got my whole life ahead of me. The second is by a country singer, and please don't anybody say you know any country singers. The second is by a country singer called Jerry Jeff Walker. Please, has anybody ever heard him? Sandra, I know you're hiding your face. That other Sandra's hiding her face. Tom put his hand. You should be ashamed of yourselves. That's nearly as bad as saying you know Philomena Bagley. In the name of good... Oh, I don't know. Anyway, the country singer's called Jerry Jeff Walker, and he sang a song called Too Old to Change. And of course, the better known of all the three songs is by Louis Armstrong, called We Have All the Time in the World. Now, these three song titles summarize, basically, I should just say, the three song titles and leave, and probably people are saying I wish he would, but these three song titles summarize what I have to say this evening. I've got my whole life ahead of me. Too old to change. We have all the time in the world. This week's excuse is, I'm not ready to be a Christian. I'm too young. I'm not ready to be a Christian. I'm too old. Did anybody pick up from my Bible readings how they actually cover the entire span of life? From childhood through to youth, adolescence, onto adulthood and old age. You had Jesus blessing the children. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Do not forsake me in my old age. Throughout our entire lives, God is interested in us. Now, you might find this very hard to believe, but throughout your entire life, God is interested in you. And he is very interested in you tonight. He has brought you here tonight. He has got you to tune in to Facebook tonight. He has got you to listen to the podcast on our website. Because God is interested in you. The Bible says that before he even formed us in our mother's womb, God knew us and has appointed all our days. Jesus, who as we know is God in the flesh, Jesus was keen to bless the little ones that were brought to him. Jesus wanted to bless them because he knew that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as them. That doesn't necessarily mean that when you get to heaven, it's going to be full of children. Jesus also said that unless you become as a little child, you won't be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's about that childlike faith, that ability to trust. And Jesus wanted to bless them because he knew that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such who have that childlike faith. And King Solomon spent years studying life and life's great questions. And after all of his wise musings about the meaning of life, he declared, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." In other words, he says, it is a really good thing to get to know God when you're young. And the writer of Psalm 71 says, don't cast me off in my old age. Don't forsake me when I'm weak. God is interested in people of all ages across the entire span of life. Children, young people, adults, and the elderly. So why these three songs? I've got my whole life ahead of me. Too old to change. And we have all the time in the world. Why were they on my mind as I thought about the excuse, I'm not ready to be a Christian? I'm too young or I'm too old. Well, the first song title is like the mantra of the young. I've got my whole life ahead of me. I've got my whole life ahead of me. We even say that about children all the time. They've got their whole life ahead of them. And that's how so many young people think. Not only do they think that they are invincible, not only do they think that they know best, but they also think that they've got their whole life in front of them. I'm too young to be a Christian. I have my whole life ahead of me. As if being a Christian will somehow spoil their life or their life's plans. But those who are a wee bit older or a wee bit longer in the truth know that no one is guaranteed tomorrow. No one is promised long life. How often have we heard of a child or a young person dying, and we too have said, dear, they had their whole life ahead of them. We need to bring children to Jesus. They need to get to know the Lord while they're still young, because even children are not promised tomorrow. The second song speaks to adults and the elderly, because too often theirs is the mantra, ach, I'm too old to change now. I'm set in my ways. But God has been interested in you all your life, and he is still interested in you as an adult, right into senior citizenship, eldership, whatever they want to call being old these days. I'm really scared to say being grey and wrinkled. God is still interested in you. And if you're honest with yourself, and I ask you tonight, if you're one of the adults, old people, if you are honest tonight, I want you to ask yourself this. Can you not look back over your life and see God's signposts pointing you to him? Ask yourself this. Can you look over your life and see the signposts of God pointing you to him? Were you not sent to Sunday school as a child to hear the wonderful stories of the Bible and of Jesus coming to die that we might live? Did you not have maybe Christian friends who tried to speak to you about Jesus, but you said, our lippers, don't want to know? What about maybe a church service that you attended, a wedding, a funeral, a Thanksgiving? You think you just went there off your own bat. You can't even produce a thought unless God permitted. God brought you to those services because he was interested in you, because he wanted you to hear his calling to your life and upon your life. Or maybe you're walking down Bangor and somebody like Andrew McGee is sitting outside the Heatherly and says, gospel track. And you're nearly afraid not to take it. Andrew tried to push one on me the other day, and I said, Andrew, I don't want it. I'm a Christian. Keep it for somebody who's not one. He says, oh, you got to keep fulfilling the Great Commission. I said, well, then you give it to somebody else, because I ain't taking it. But maybe just that person standing there or sitting there, faithful servant of God like Andrew McGee and others, there week after week after week, just with a gospel track, and many will pass by, and all the time God is saying to you, it's a signpost, I'm saying to you, here's your opportunity. Here's your opportunity. Take it and read it. Ah, but I'm too old to change. God is always interested in us. Maybe there was a time in your life when there was a terrible crisis, and on your own, when nobody else was about, you cried out to God, oh, would you help me? Would you rescue me? Would you change this situation? And he did. But you forgot about him. God is always interested in us, willing to save us if we'd only come to him. Do you know that I knew a man who asked his Christian wife, will your God forgive me for all of my sins, even if I ask him while I'm lying on my deathbed? And she answered, yes, because he loves you so much. Yes, he will forgive you if you're genuinely asking for his forgiveness. And her husband responded, "Well, I'll just wait until then." Little did he know that he would die the next day of a massive heart attack. He didn't have his whole life ahead of him. He wasn't too old to change. And he didn't, as Louis Armstrong sang, have all the time in the world. But he left it too late. Those who make the excuse, "I'm not ready to be a Christian, I'm too young," or "I'm too old," need to understand three things. You are not guaranteed that you have your whole life ahead of you. If you're still breathing, you're not too old to change. But definitely, none of us have all the time in the world. On one occasion, God declared to the people of Israel who were forsaking him and his ways and were living their lives as they pleased, God declared to them that he was ready to listen to them, to help them and to save them if they would turn to him in faith. And he says these words, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." If you make the excuse that you're not ready to be a Christian because you think you're either too young or too old, you need to listen to what God says. Now is the accepted time. You might not have your whole life ahead of you. You might not see tomorrow. Now is the accepted time, God says. Like the man who said he would wait until his deathbed before asking God for forgiveness, but he was too late. So you cannot gamble with your soul and where you will spend eternity, because for you, it could be too late. God Almighty declares, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You're not too young or too old to be saved. And you certainly don't have all the time in the world to prepare for eternity. Regardless of your age, God is interested in you tonight because he loves you and he seeks to save you from sin and its consequences. He sent his son Jesus to die in our place so that we might be forgiven for our sins and have everlasting life. Time after time after time, God has sought you out to draw you to him, but you have repeatedly rejected him. His signposts are there in your life. See if you're saying tonight that there are no signposts of God in your life, you are a liar. God's signposts are there in your life. If you will look back and be honest, you will see them. In fact, if you're here tonight, if you're watching on Facebook or listening to our podcast, that is God's signpost drawing you to him. Will you continue in light of that? Will you continue to make the excuse, "I'm not ready to be a Christian. I'm too young," or "I'm too old"? Will you continue to make that your excuse when God himself has told you, "Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation," because you are not promised tomorrow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we go through these excuses, we see time and time again how your word just demolishes them. But yet we thank you, O God, that you are a God of love, so gracious and so merciful. And you, Lord God, can look at the excuses that people make, Lord God, and you can bypass them and reach right into people's hearts and minds. And we pray that you would do that tonight, that you would touch lives, Lord God, with the power of your love, that people would be honest and confess that they know the signposts, many, many signposts in their life where you have sought to draw them to yourself, but they have rejected you. Lord, tonight, please, may people realize that being here, watching on Facebook or listening to the podcast is your signpost. Again, trying to draw people to yourself that you might save them from sin and its consequences, that they might have everlasting life. And even if tomorrow on earth isn't promised to those who believe, we know that we shall be forever with the Lord. It's only those who know and love Jesus who claim that promise. And we pray that tonight, Lord, please, people would take a hold of that promise through faith in Jesus Christ, your Son, that people would repent, turn around from making excuses, turn around from living their life their way, and turn back to you, the living God, and ask for your forgiveness for their sins, and put their trust, Almighty God, in you. May people tonight, through faith in Jesus, be saved, Lord, saved from sin and its consequences, and have everlasting life. Stop the excuse, I'm too young or I'm too old, because God himself says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Move by your power, O God, upon people's hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen.